Morning. Today's daf Erev in Samech. Hey, we're in Samech Dal Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We're going to begin this morning with the words Amar Mar. It's about 5-6 lines from the bottom of the Amud. First one in the line is Ela Shalashon Chachamim Marpei. Today's daf is going to be divided half. First half of it is going to be a continuation of the Igarata that we discussed yesterday. And then the second half is going to be a resumption of Hilchos Erevin Eruvi Chatzeros. So first, the Igarata for today. Yesterday's daf, Samach Dalid, so we retreated to a lot of Agadita yesterday. The Gemara started off with the halachas of Eruv Chaseros, but then launched into a good amount of Agadita. One of the topics that was discussed yesterday was an incident revolving Rabbi Gamliel. Gemara told the story with Rabbi Gamliel. And actually two stories yesterday, one involving Rabbi Eliezer and the other one involving Rabbi Gamliel. And the Gemara had a lot of lessons that were taught based on the story, and three lessons that were taught from the first story, four lessons that were taught from the second story. So if you recall yesterday, the first story also involved Rabbi Gamliel. First story also involved Rabbi Gamliel as well. So in the first story, they saw a loaf of bread, they picked it up. They passed along an Ovi Kochavim, a non-Jew. They handed the loaf of bread to the non-Jew, and the Gemara says a number of Rabbi Gamliel forecasted what his name was. But the Gemara said the number of points, the number of halachic points that we learned from there. First point was Ein Ma'avirin ala Ochlin. You don't pass by food. In other words, the respect that we have for food, a theme that constantly comes up throughout Shas. And so yesterday's daf was just an example. And that was, we should respect our food. And if you pass by food which is edible, you should pick it up. Even if you yourself can't eat it. But nevertheless, you should pick it up. You should respect food. The second halacha that was learned from there is that since most of the people that walk through that pathway is non-Jewish, so the food, the bread they picked up was bread baked by non-Jew, which means that Rabbi Gamliel was not going to eat it. And finally, the last halacha was that even though it was immediately after Pesach and it was chemso shel nachri, it was chametz of a nachri over Pesach, so you are t'mutzer b'ana, you're allowed to get benefit from it. The fact that he handed it over, he gifted it over to a non-Jew, so that's something which is going to provide not only the recipient hana, but also the gifter hana as well. Every time you give a gift, you yourself are going to be receiving a form of hana'a, not perfectly directly, but indirectly you're going to get hana. Anyway, but that's fine. That's not a problem. That was the first story. The second story that we saw yesterday, Rabbi Gamliel had a drink and Italian wine, and he needed to clear himself up a little bit. He walked not one but 3 mil in order to clear himself off. Actually, he didn't walk 3 mil, but he rode on a donkey for 3 mil. But anyway, he needed a little bit of sobriety, because somebody came along and had a neder and wanted to be released from his neder. So Rabbi Gamliel says, "Sure, I'll absolutely do so, but I need to have a clearer head. I need to have more sobriety." So anyway, that was the second sort of story that we saw yesterday. The four halachas that we learned from that story is that if you have revius of wine, what happened to have been yain italki, so that's mishaker. That already causes enough distortion of your thought where you're basically now under the influence and you can't paskin halacha. And that was the second halacha. The second halacha is that once you are under the influence, you can't paskin the halacha. And the third thing is that when you either walk or you go on a journey, so that will mitigate the effects of the wine. And the fourth thing that we learn from the story is that when you're made for neder, when you release somebody from a neder, so you can't be riding, you can't be walking, you can't even be standing, but rather you have to be sitting and concentrating. Okay? And the Gemara, and at the end of yesterday's daf, we discussed that last point in more detail. Anyway, we're going all the way back now to the beginning of the halachas that we learned, total of seven halachas that we learned yesterday, three from the first story, four from the second story. And now we're heading all the way back to the first halacha is that if you see a loaf of bread, you got to pick it up. And the Gemara is just going to pick it up from over there. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochanan, Lo Shanu Allah B'Doros Rishonim. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan in the name of the Rashbi. And that is that when you pick up a loaf of bread, a nondescript random loaf of bread. That was in the earlier generation. Shein benos Yisrael prutzos b'chshafim, where you didn't have the Jewish women involved in sorcery. Aval b'doros ha'achronim. Shein benos Yisrael prutzos b'chshafim. But in the later generations, where benos Yisrael were involved in sorcery, ma'avirin. So then what you're going to do is you're not going to pick up the loaf of bread. The loaf of bread is going to be saturated with sorcery. And the only thing that's going to happen is trouble is going to occur when you go ahead and you pick it up. Okay, so so that's the Rashbi's noted change of noted societal change. Okay, Tana, we learned in the Brisa Shemim Ma'avirin, Petitin Ma'avirin. So if the loaves are whole and intact, so then you pass it over, meaning that and people who are familiar with sorcery, as you can probably guess, I'm not one of them. But when the loaves are whole and intact, so then they become great candidates for this kind of sorcery. But if they're petitin, if they're broken up into pieces, so then no problem at all. They're just simply not subject to any kind of sorcery. So Amalei Ravasi LeRavashi VaPetitin LoAvdan. So the Gemara says, are you serious? Ravasi says, is that really true? Vaksiv, the pasuk says, VaTechalana Osi El Ami B'Shalei Sa'orim UVePetutei Lechem. So the pasuk in Yecheskel describes how the women would profane and they would do sorcery to loaves of bread, and the pasuk describes petute lechem. Even if it's broken pieces of bread, they would still do their sorcery. So the Gemara says, no, you didn't understand the pasuk in Yecheskel correctly. Dishakle ba'agraihu. The Gemara is talking about what they received as payment for practicing and performing the sorcery. The bread was just payment. It doesn't mean that they were performing their sorcery on the pieces of bread. Okay, Adkan, the Gemara's discussion regarding when, in fact, sorcery was popular. It was done on bread, but only on whole loaves of bread, not on pieces of bread. We continue in the Gemara. We're on the last line. On Samach Talmud Beis, Amar Rav Sheshet Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azarya. Yochel Ani Liftoros Kol Am Kulo Min Adin Miyom Shachar Beis Hamikdash Vaad Achshav. So, Rav Elazar ben Azarya says, what I could do, so I can create a explanation, justification for the Jewish people, and create p'tur, create exemption for the entire world from the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed until this very moment. Meaning to say that I can explain how it is that the Jews are not perfect in their conduct and in their behavior, and the fact that they are not perfectly compliant with the Torah. So Rav Elazar ben Azarya says, I can explain it and create a p'tur and create an exemption. The pasuk says, "V'adachshav shenemar." The pasuk, he quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu, "Lachen shiminazos aniyah v'shikoros v'lo miayin." So that we are in poverty and we're intoxicated, but not from wine. Meaning to say that because of all the troubles that befall the Jewish people since the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and post destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and all the vicissitudes of history. So basically, in other words, the pasuk in Yeshayahu says we're like drunk people. Now, like a drunk person who is right now, the Gemara is assuming not responsible for their actions. Now we're going to clarify that point in just a moment. Meaning, when you're drunk, you're really not responsible. But that's right now the thought process of this limud zchus, that just like when a drunk person is not responsible for their action, so I could say the same thing is true regarding the Jewish people, not responsible for their actions, and that's how he's malamid zchus and the entire Jewish people. From Churban Beis HaMikdash until that very day. Parenthetically, by the way, there's not a lot of history, actual history between Churban Beis HaMikdash and Rav Elazar ben Azarya. But anyway, that's his limud zchus. So Meisvei, the Gemara says, wait one second. It's a beautiful idea that we're going to excuse behavior and try to subvert onesh. It's really a nice idea. On the other hand, however, is it true what he's saying? Meaning, just because a person is drunk, he's not going to be responsible for his actions? Meisvei, the Gemara says, we'll challenge you with a brisa. Shikor, that when a person is drunk, he's under the influence of alcohol. So mekho mekach, umemkar, all transactions are valid, both whether he's on the buying or on the selling end. Avar aver sheish b'misa me'misa noso. He commits a crime, an issur in the Torah, and it's a capital crime, so he's going to be put to death. He's going to be executed. Malchus malkanoso, he's going to be subject to malchus if necessary. He's like a pikeach. In other words, as far as the law is concerned, the law is going to treat him like somebody who is totally liable and responsible for his actions. There is one exemption that he receives, and that is that he won't be able to daven when you're in a state of drunkenness. He can't daven. So in that regard, so he will receive an exemption, but for every other area in halacha, so he's not going to be exempt. So the Gemara says, okay, so now the entire argument of Rav Elazar ben Azariah is predicated on the idea that we're like drunk people. That's the pasuk in Yeshayahu. But the Gemara's question now is very strong. Okay, but a drunk person is liable and responsible for his actions. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go back to Rav Elazar ben Azariah and we're going to requalify his statement. My yicholani liftor dika'amar nami midin tefila. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah's limud zchus is not going on all of our behaviors. In fact, it's not going on most of our behaviors. Most of our behaviors we're still going to be liable and responsible for. The only thing that he's providing a limud zchus for is the fact that we're not davening. Now Rashi over here, it's important Rashi. Rashi over here says we're not davening b'kavana. Rashi writes over here, midin tefila, im danin oso al shaloh hayu mispalim b'kavana yachalani lapotron. So the way Rashi sets up the Gemara, so we're not going to be excused for not davening, meaning we have to daven. We're obligated to daven, and obviously we want to daven, okay? Some more than others, but in other words, but we have this obligation to daven. That's something that's, the fact that a person is going to ignore that, that's inexcusable. But the idea that we don't daven with a proper kavana, so that Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, that I can explain. In that regard, that's what the pasuk in Yeshayahu is making reference to. We're like shikur, we're like a drunk. A drunk person is going to be exempt from davening. And again, exempt from davening in the context of the way Rashi explains it. Exempt from davening with kavana, so us too. So in that regard, so we're going to get a pass on not davening with the proper kavana. Amar Rabbi Chanina lo shanu elo shalo higila lichshichrus shalot. Aval higila lichshichrus shalot, patam mikulam. Then the Gemara says, there is a level of intoxication where a person is going to be exempt. And that is if he gets to the intoxication of Lot. What is the intoxication of Lot? So we know the story. So Lot slept with his daughters. Even after having slept with his first daughter, he didn't even know they slept with his first daughter. Although Rashi on Chumash, by the way, doesn't exactly paint the picture exactly like I described it. But simple pshat in the pasuk is that he didn't know... He didn't know he slept with his first daughter because he was so drunk. And the next night he also got that level of drunk. So when you're on that level of drunk, so then you're going to be exempt. Once you get to that level of intoxication, you're going to be exempt. There is a lot of discussion regarding exemptions from what? Meaning, so from the various punishments of Beis Din, so that probably is what the Gemara is making reference to. What about Nezek? In other words, you're so drunk, right? You're at the point of shichrus or shalos. I'm sorry, you're at the point of shichrus or shalot. You're going to be now exempt from even damaging other people. So we have the Mishnah in Baba Kama, Daf Chavava, the Mu'ud La'olam. A person is always going to be liable and responsible for all of his actions, right? And the Gemara and the Mishnah over there cites, and the Gemara over there cites, Afilu Ba'ones, even if the person is doing something under duress, he's going to be liable. So it is very difficult to entertain that if a person arrives at that level of shichrus where he may be exempt in other areas of halacha, but for nezek, he's going to be exempt. So there are rishonim who say that no, not for nezek. For damages, he's not going to be exempt. Okay, there's a discussion to be had over there. Interesting also on Purim, the halacha discusses when people get drunk together and damage on Purim. So obviously, just as a cautionary point, we shouldn't get to that level of drunkenness. But you're drunk on Purim to the point where you cause damage and destruction. So are you going to be liable over there? So it's really the same discussion that we're having right now. And interestingly enough, not everyone is on board with the idea that you're going to be obligated. Some are of the opinion that you're going to be exempt anyway. Again, I'm throwing out some small ideas over here, not small, big ideas over here, but this is not a time to really explore, but it's certainly a worthwhile discussion. It's an important discussion. Anyway, we are continuing in the Gemara, and here we are now. We are going to be, as long as we talked about this idea that when you are shikur, when you're intoxicated, so it's understood that you're not going to be able to daven properly, you're not going to have proper kavana. So the Gemara now is going to continue this line of thinking. Amar Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara starts off now here on Samech Hamad Aleph with a continuation of this idea that you have to have clear thought. So let's say you get to Magin. Magin over here is a reference to Magin Avos, meaning the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, meaning Tefillah. In other words, it's a reference to davening Shmoneh Esrei. So B'Shas Gava. Now Shas Gava, without Rashi, I would have said Shas Gava means at a time when you're arrogant. But that's not what we're describing over here. Rashi is very clear. Rashi says B'Shas Shichrus. So it's a time when you're intoxicated. So if you go ahead and you pass over Shmoneh Esrei when you are intoxicated, So at that point in time, you are not going to be you're not going to have any tzaros. Meaning, it's the right thing to do when you are intoxicated. So you're not in the right state of mind to daven. You shouldn't daven. Shenamar, the pasuk says, "Gava afike miganim sagur chosem tsar." So the pasuk in Iyov says that when you are in the state of intoxication, again, gava over here, normally meaning arrogant, but in this context, doesn't mean arrogant, it just means that the person's intoxicated. So what a Kadosh Baruch Hu will do is a Kadosh Baruch Hu will be so ger, he'll close off any kinds of pains. Meaning, because the person did not go ahead and daven. My mashman dahai, apik lishna davu, right now. The language that was used is kol hamapik magin. Now, mapik, and the pasuk in Iyov, gava afike, Meganim. So how do we know that the word afike means that you should pass it over? Meaning you shouldn't daven. So Dichsiv, the Gemara says, I'll cite you another pasuk, also from Iyov. So Achi Bigdo Kamo Nachal Kaafik Nechalim Yavoru. So in the context of the pasuk, it's clear that the word kaafik means that you're going to pass by. In the same pasuk, you have the word mafik, you have Yavoru. It means you're going to skip it. So that is Rabbi Chanina's understanding. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kol She'eino Mapik. Now Rabbi Yochanan says it a little bit differently. But as we're going to learn together, it's basically the same point. Kol she'eino mapik, itmar. Now, my mashma da'ai mapik lashon digaluyuhu. So here, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is effectively the same point to Rabbi Chanina, but he understands mapik to mean something different. Mapik to him means something which you reveal, meaning that when you are drunk, you should not be mapik, meaning you shouldn't reveal, meaning you shouldn't daven when you're drunk. All right, so it comes out to the same point. And dichsib, but his definition, the word mapik, obviously is different. And how does he know that the word mapik means to reveal? Dichsib, the pasuk says in Tehillim, vayu afike mayim vayigolam mozdos tevo. So in this pasuk, you have the word to be megale, you have the word afike. It means revelation. So michti, cry mashma be'lamar be'lamar. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have two ways to say it over. We have Rabbi Chanina, we have Rabbi Yochanan, but when all is said and done, it comes out to be the same point, and that is when you're drunk, you shouldn't daven. So my Beinah, the Gemara wants to know, now no, is there a difference between them? Now, obviously, yes. How to interpret the word mafike? But the aside from that, is there a halachic difference? So the Gemara says, yeah, there is an actual halachic difference. So Rav Sheshes was in a state of intoxication. He was slightly inebriated. And so, but he wanted to daven. But he knew that he wasn't in the right state of mind to daven. So what he did is he basically set his alarm clock. Now, back in the day, the alarm clock was his shamash, it was his attendant, but he set his alarm clock. So mar islay derav sheshes, mar leislay derav sheshes. So now, everyone agrees that when you are intoxicated, you shouldn't be davening, but is there an idea that you should be setting your alarm clock? And the Gemara says that's the difference between the two positions. Now, if it were left to me, I'm not sure I would be able to figure out who said which. Meaning Rabbi Chanina is the one who says you should set the alarm clock, or Rabbi Yochanan the one who says that you should set the alarm clock. Thankfully, we have Rashi. Rashi writes over here, Master Shinte L'Shamei. So Amar Lo Hanichen L'Shem Ma'adu K'shi Yagi Z'man Tefillah Hakitzeni. So okay, so you set the old-fashioned alarm clock. You tell your attendant to wake you up in some time. So, and Rashi writes, and I'm reading the Rashi, Rabbi Chanina Damar Avure Ba'e So Rabbi Chanina, who says that you should pass it over, meaning basically Rabbi Chanina says skip it altogether. You're intoxicated at this Mont Fila, so skip it altogether. Don't make any efforts. You're just simply not in the right frame of mind. And until you have achieved sobriety, and sobriety, meaning in its time, then and only then are you supposed to daven. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yochanan, I'll finish the sentence of Rashi, but it's obvious. According to Rabbi Yochanan now, who says that when you are drunk, you should not be megaleh, which means that really, in principle, you should be davening, but you're drunk right now. So you should make efforts in order to be able to drink. Sorry. You should make efforts in order to be able to daven in a short amount of time. And basically set your alarm clock. Okay, so that's the way Rashi sets it up. The difference between Rabbi Chanina versus Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav Kol She'in Datum Yosheves Alav Al Yispalo. And now the Gemara is going to continue along this theme, which basically is the idea that davening requires concentration and you need kavana. So the Gemara over here is going to really hammer this point that you need to have a clear mind when davening. So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav Kol She'in Datum Yosheves Alav. If your mind is not settled, so al yispalo, you shouldn't daven mishum shenema, the pasuk says, but star al yoreh. So when you are in a state of trouble, al yoreh. Now literally the word means don't paskin, but the Gemara is understanding this pasuk to mean that you shouldn't daven when you're in a state of unsettled state of mind. Now this pasuk over here, you'll notice on the side of the Gemara, so there's no citation of a pasuk. Right, every time on this summit alone, we quote a pesukim from Yeshayahu, a couple from Eov, a pasuk in Tehillim, and on the side of the Gemara, so you have what's called the Torah Or, and that tells you where to find the pasuk. So over here, you'll notice the Gemara quoted a pasuk Shinamar, Betzar al Yoreh, and you'll see that there's no citation. And so, what does that mean? That somebody forgot to write a citation over here? No. What it means is that the Gemara quotes a pasuk, but we don't know where the pasuk is. Rashi over here writes really interesting Rashi. Rashi writes, "Betzal yoreh, badakti achar hamikra zeh." So Rashi says, "I did an examination of the psukim." Now we all know Rashi knows the psukim of Tanakh backwards, forwards, right? He knew it cold. So Rashi over here is being, I would believe, somewhat modest when he says, "I checked the psukim," meaning when he came across this pasuk that the Gemara is quoting, he knew it wasn't a pasuk. But anyway, badakti achar hamikra zeh ve'ena v'chol aksuvim. Okay, it's nowhere in Tanakh. Okay, v'shema. B'sefer ben Sirahu. And Zerashi says, well, maybe it's part of ben Sira. Ben Sira comes up time and again throughout the Gemara. Not that often, right? I don't want to overstate it. But the Gemara quotes from ben Sira. What is ben Sira? So it's non-canonized work, right? Writings, if you will, that were written. It happens to be that ben Sira historically was written during Bais Sheni. And there are works in the beginning of Bais Sheni that was canonized and made into Tanakh, but Ben Sira was not canonized and wasn't made. It didn't make its way into Tanakh. And the Gemara, in a number of places, a couple places, describes how Ben Sira should not be studied with any kind of regularity. Right? It's a work that does speak to ideas, but it shouldn't be. A person shouldn't make it part of his seder. Shouldn't be a regular limud. And also over here, Rashi says perhaps it's from Ben Sira. Rashi himself is not even sure if it is from Ben Sira. Okay, there is a lengthier discussion to be had in terms of how much of Ben Sira do we have? When was it discovered? The writings of Ben Sira. Okay, a lot more to go over, but not for now. Anyway, the Gemara quotes the pasuk. It's not a pasuk, says Rashi. Maybe it's from Ben Sira. We continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Chanina b'Yuma derasach. Lamasle Rabbi Chanina, when it was a day that he was particularly angry, so he didn't daven. In other words, he couldn't fully compose and concentrate, so he didn't daven. Amar b'tzar al yoreh, and he quoted this quote unquote pasuk ksiv. Mar ukva b'yuma deshusa lo havenafik lebedina. Mar ukva, when it was a day of shusa, Rashi writes this day of shusa ruach dromis min hashavas bo v'chazaka. So it is a day where the southern winds blow, and depending on the direction of the wind, so that created either clarity or disturbances within the weather and within the person's mental state. And so Marukva says that when it was a day of shoots of southern wind, so he wouldn't go out to the court, he wouldn't judge cases. He felt like he didn't have clear thinking. Amrav Nachma Yitzchak Kilchasa Baitzilusa Kiyuma Diistana. So Rav Nachma Yitzchak says that when it comes to the halacha, you need a clear mind. You need Yuma Diistana. it needs you need to have a really clear day. Rashi over here says Yuma Deistana. Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Yevamos. Rashi Kishemenasheves Ruach Svonis Yom Orahu. When the northern wind blows, so then it's going to be a really light day. It's going to be a clear day. V'noach l'chol, and everyone's going to have clear thought on that day, right? So for those who think that the weather affects, influences how you feel, how you think, you're in wonderful company. The Gemara here in Erevin Samechei clearly supports that line of thinking. Rashi goes on. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Yevamos. So the Gemara in Yevamos gives an explanation of why the Jewish people did not give a meal for the 40 years that they were in the desert. Because there wasn't the northern wind. And when it was only southern winds that were blowing, and none of these comforting northern winds, so they wouldn't do a meal on that day. Okay. So the Gemara says fine, and these Amorim were sensitive to that, and they wouldn't sit in court, they wouldn't pass in halacha. Amar Abai, we continue in the Gemara, we're halfway down Samech Amud Aleph. E Amar li em kriv kutcha lo tanai. So Abai says, look, in terms of disturbances, so Abai says I'm very sensitive, and if my mother told me, and how many times does he quote his mother? Not his biological mother, but his foster mother. And she says, pass me the dip, right? The cheese dip. So Lotan, on a day like that, I wouldn't learn like I normally learn. In other words, it creates such a disturbance. Now, not really clear. In other words, it's hard to suggest. Really difficult to entertain the idea that just because his mother asked him to do something, maybe it could be something about the actual dip itself that bothered him. Whatever the case was, in other words, it broke his concentration. And he didn't learn like the other days. Amar Rava Ikartas and Kina Lo Tanai. And Rava says that, look, if I was bitten by a bug, so Lo Tanai, I just simply did not have the kind of concentration that I normally would have. Marbere de Ravina Abdalai Ime Zain Manila Zain Yome. Marbere de Ravina, so what his mother did is, for every day of the week, his mother prepared a new set of clothing. And that means to say that when he went to the Beis Medrash, so he wore clean clothing every day. It gave him the state of mind, the ability to focus and to concentrate. And also, probably their clothing ended up getting infested with bugs. Whatever the case was, the clean clothing allowed for him to concentrate even further. I'm Rav Yehuda lo ivre laila ela l'shinasa. Rav Yehuda says, what should a person do at night? So Rav Yehuda says a person should sleep at night. That's why night was created. Night was created for sleeping. So in a moment, we're going to see that the Gemara itself is going to cross itself, because the Gemara is going to talk about the importance of learning at night. In fact, there's something special about learning at night. Tosos over here writes, right, short Tosos, second from the bottom. Alu l'shinasa kamo lel tkufas tamos. So Tosos says that we're talking about the summer months. Summer months when the night is its shortest. So that's where you have a limited number of night hours. So then take advantage of that time and sleep. In other words, get a good night's sleep. You don't have that many hours to sleep. So, and then, based on that, we really can resolve what the Gemara is going to be saying, which is, you should sleep at night, you should learn at night. So, Tosfos really is resolving the issue, which is that if it's a short night and it's really limited number of hours there, nighttime hours that there are, so then you should sleep during that time. If, however, it's a winter month where there's more time at night, so then take advantage and you should be learning during those extra hours. Amar Rav Shimon Malekish Lo Ivri Siara Ela Ligirsa. Here we go. Reish Lakish says that as far as the moon is concerned, why is there a moon out? So the moon is out so that there provides light so that we can learn. Right? Back in the day, at night, it was dark. It was really dark. Electricity really changed society as a whole. So, but back in the day, once it was nighttime, so that's it. The lights were shut off. So, but if there was a moon out, so it'll provide enough illumination so that you could read and learn. So, Amar Leh Rebbe Zera Mechad Nishmaitech. So they said to Rabbi Zera, wow, your shiur was fantastic, really clear. So I'm Lehudi Yamama Ninu. So Rabbi Zera says, I learned it during the day. And that clarity of learning during the day allowed me to have clear thinking. Amra Le Barte de Rav Chista Le Rav Chista. The daughter of Rav Chista said to Rav Chista, Lo Baimar Meinam Porta. So she basically said to her father, you got to sleep a little bit. Rav Chista apparently had not a good sleep schedule, at least according to his daughter. And she tells him, you got to sleep a little bit. So So Rav Chista's response to Zorni says, look, there is going to be a time coming when there's going to be plenty of time to sleep. And you probably can guess already, but Rashi writes it. Rashi says that we're talking about after 120 years. Right? Rashi says, Yuma de Aricha, Yamim Shu Bekever, Ariche Leishen, Uktine Lasak Batarva Mitzvos. So, once we get to after 120 years, once we go into the grave, so then there'll be plenty of time to sleep. Other than that, no, now's the time to learn. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Anan Poale Diyamama Anan. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says we're day workers. Mean to say that he would be focused most of his time learning during the day. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Yazif Apara. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov would borrow and he would pay back. What does that mean? Really fascinating. Rashi over here writes Yazif Apara. I'm reading the Rashi. So he would set up a learning system in which he would make sure to learn a certain amount every day. Okay, and this is a tremendous plug for the Daf Yomi program. But anyway, he would set a certain amount to learn every day. Now, of course, you got to work and you got to earn a living. And so a day would come about where he finds himself to be too busy to learn on that day. Fine. So that night, so whatever he committed himself to learning that day, so he would pay back that night. That's the idea of him borrowing, meaning he would borrow time. If during the day he needed the job required him to work a couple more hours during the day, so whatever that time was that he quote unquote borrowed during the day, so he paid it back that night. Rashi says the way Rashi describes it, the payback came immediately, meaning the night after. Amar Rav Elazar, Abba min aderech al yisfalos shlosha yamim. Rav Elazar says that when you come back from a journey, okay, so anyone who took a long flight, so you know, right, for whatever reasons, after a long flight, it's exhausting. And so you're not fully concentrating. So Rav Elazar says, so you shouldn't really be davening 3 days after a long journey. Shenamar, the pasuk says, Vakabtseim al anar haba, elachva v'nachna sham yamim shlosha. So the pasuk in Ezra over here describes how, Va'avina ba'am. The pasuk over here describes after 3 days, only then were we able to concentrate and we have our understanding. And the father of Shmuel, when he went on a journey, so he wouldn't daven for 3 days after he arrived. Shmuel, as far as what would distract and disturb him, so if they were brewing beer in the house, so the smell really bothered him, and so he wouldn't be davening under those circumstances. Rapapa, if the house was frying some fish, so he wouldn't be able to daven under those circumstances. Okay, so we're going to just pause here for a moment. We have seen now a number of Gemaras that talk about the requirement and necessity to concentrate during davening. We talk about it in the context of travel. We talk about it in the context of any disturbances or distractions. Right, the Abaye quoting how his mother distracted him just by asking for the dip, and we discussed it in terms of intoxication, and the Gemara over here. If we just had the Gemara, so the conclusion, the reasonable conclusion of the Gemara would seem like is that once you're under any of these disturbances or distractions, right, you came back from a long journey, whatever, any one of the distractions that we just described over here in the Gemara, so you get a legitimate pass from davening. Okay, so as far as Allah is concerned, the Allah actually is very clear. The Shulchan Aruch writes this very clearly. Simon Tzadiches is where you're going to find it, and he says that nowadays we don't have the kind of kavana that they had back in the day. Back in the day, so they had real kavana. In fact, if you look at the top of our Amud, so you can actually see in the Gemara itself, this idea that back in the day they really had kavanah. Rav Elazar ben Azariah already talked about the fall off of kavanah they had after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and unfortunately as far as kavanah is concerned, we've fallen even further in terms of our kavanah, right, to muster the necessary concentration that we need during davening. Okay, it's very difficult and we really struggle, and it's not a new phenomenon. So the Shulchan Aruch already discusses it. And the Shulchan Aruch says that, look, back in the day when they had the kind of kavana that they did, so there, disturbances and distractions, there were a legitimate exemption from davening. But nowadays, writes the Shulchan Aruch, where we don't have that kind of kavana, So we are not given these kinds of hall passes, if you will, that allows us to pass on davening. Our kavanah is just simply not that great. And for those who think that they do have that kind of kavanah, so that smacks of yura, that smacks of arrogance, meaning we simply don't have the kavanah that they had back in the day. Shulchan Aruch writes that nowadays we do not help ourselves to any of these exemptions that's mentioned in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chanina, we are continuing in the Gemara. We are towards the bottom of Samachay Amid Aleph. Kol Amispata B'Yeno Yesh Bo Midas Kona. So let's say you have a little bit of a misunderstanding, miscommunication with another person. You're angry at another person, and he appeases you with wine, right? In other words, he gives you some wine. The two of you have a drink together, and you're appeased. So is that a good thing? The Gemara says it's not a good thing. It's a great thing. The Gemara says you're like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar vayerech Hashem esriach enichoach. So after they leave the teva and the karbanos are brought, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu now is smelling the reach enichoach. So a Kadosh Baruch Hu is appeased. And so when a person arrives at the point of appeasement, so that is emulating Hashem. Amar Abichel kol amisyashe b'yenu yesh bo das ayin zakenim. Anyone who settled in his thinking is going to have the thought of the 70 zakenim yaini ten ba'ayin osios. The gematrias. We don't get a lot of gematrias in the Gemara, so enjoy them when they come. So the gematria of the word yain is 70, and that is a reference to the 70s of Canaan. And the Gemara goes on. I'll give you more gematrias as a Gemara. V'sod niten ba'ayin osios. And also the word sod is given with 70 letters as well, meaning it's the gematria 70. So nichnas yain yatsa sod. So now the yain comes in and the sod comes out. Interesting, Rashi over here. Rashi writes yatsa sod. Vizeh hova lo yatzel sodo shakalhu kisanhedrin shal ayin. So I would say the simple reading of the Gemara is that that when you drink wine, so secrets are going to come out. That's not the way Rashi read the Gemara. Rashi read the Gemara is that when you drink wine and now you have a settled thought, so then you're going to withhold secrets, much like the Zakenim, right? Zakenim are people who understood things very well, but they didn't blather, they didn't. They were at the heights of discretion. So interesting, Rashi over here. That's how he understands the connection between yain and sod. That basically you're going to be at the heights of discretion. Okay, certainly a very interesting Rashi. Anyway, we continue. Amar Chanin lo nivra yain ela lenachem avelim uleshalem schar l'rishayim. Rabbi Chanin had his take on wine, which is that what it did is it provided a nechama for the avelim, somebody who was mourning Rachmanis, he was mourning one of his seven krovim. So they drank wine. The Gemara in Mo'ikon described they had a minhag back then where they would drink a lot of wine at the Suda Savra when they would come home from the cemetery. The Gemara actually there in Mo'ikon, forgive me, I forgot which staff it was, but the Gemara in Mo'ikon over there describes how they got so drunk that they had to scale back the amount of wine that was drunk at the Suda Savra. But anyway, but Reb Chanin says that's why wine was created. It dulls the pain of loss. And also, l'shalim schar l'rishayim, also payback for the rishayim. In other words, for rishayim, so what they're going to do is they're going to drink in this world and really enjoy themselves. And whatever schar was due to them, in other words, the rishayim, they don't have a lot of schar. But whatever schar is due to them, is that that's going to be paid with that wine and that frivolity. That's why wine was created. Shenamar, yes, psukim that describe this. Tenu shechar la'oved. So the pasuk in Mishlei describes how wine is good for a person who suffered loss. Am Rabbi Chanin bar Papa kol she'ein yain nishpach b'soch beso kemayim eino b'chlal bracha. The Rabbi Chanin says that if wine is not pouring in your house like water, so then you're not included in the bracha. Shenemar, the pasuk says, uvarech es lachmecha ves meimecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu will provide bracha for you, for your bread and for your water. So malachim shenikach b'kesef meiser, afmayim shenikach b'kesef meiser. Now, bread can be purchased with kesef meiser, and so can water. Now, that hopefully you're bothered by the Gemara, because water cannot be purchased with meiser sheni money. In fact, we discussed that here in Erevin a long time ago, in the beginning of the Masechta. So anyway, so mainihu yayin. Now, it doesn't mean water, but it actually means wine, meaning that just like bread can be purchased with your meiser sheni money, wine can be purchased with meiser sheni money. Why is the Torah describing it as water? The kakari le mayim. So as we now turn to the Amud Beis, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Inishbach kebeis kemayim nikabracha v'ilo lo. It means to say that the water's got to be, sorry, I saw what I just did there. The wine's got to be pouring just like water. So, and when it does, when it pours like water, so then you're going to have bracha. And if it doesn't flow like water, so then you don't have bracha. Amar Rabbi Elai b'shoshet varim adam nikar. Okay, perhaps one of the more famous gemaras of today's daf. A lot of famous gemaras in today's daf, right? Nichtas yain yatzasod. But here, the on the top of the Amud Beis, Samchem and Beis in Erevin. So there are three ways to get to know a person. B'shoshet varim adam nikar. Bikoso, bikiso, uvikaso. The alliteration is fantastic. And in terms of what it means, so Rashi writes, koso. So Rashi says how he is when he drinks. Rashi imdatom yushevas alav v'yeno. When he drinks wine, so does he become more settled or does he become more silly? Okay, it's a great litmus test to get to know somebody. Kiso. So Rashi says, kishenosein v'nosein im b'nei adam im be'emuna hu osa. So when you do business, so are you honest and fair? Or are you dishonest? And yesh v'yesh, there are different types of people. Again, a great litmus test to get to know somebody. Uvikaso, Rashi says, anger, she'in kapton yoser midai. Do you let things slide? Or are you exacting in particular with every detail? So and you get angry over it. So once again, great litmus test. Now, the Amr Lay now, some add, right, this edition, by the way, I think is, generally speaking, forgotten, but it is an Amr Lay. In other words, it's not part of the original Memra. Some add, Af Bistach Ko, even when a person laughs. In other words, when a person laughs, when a person is overjoyed, is he giddy and silly, or is he still able to maintain a certain level of composure? Okay, Adkan. That takes us to the end of the first half of today's daf. And that was the agadic section of today's daf. And now we're back to the halacha. Before resumption of the halacha, so let's just make sure that we remember. Since the beginning of this perek, taking us all the way back to Samach Aleph Amud Beis. Okay? So we saw the Mishnah, and the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. When a Jew lives together with a non-Jew in a chatzar, and they're the only two residents of that chatzar, so is there a requirement of schirus? Do you have to rent out the non-Jews' rights in the chatzar? So Rameir says yes, and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says no. Rameir says yes, because even though that's really uncommon, that you're going to have one chatzar where the only residents are a Jew and a non-Jew, it's something which is lo shech. Rameir says that still the Chachamim made a gzera. Not the original gzera of Erevin, because the original gzera of Erevin, of Eruvei Chatzeres, is for multiple Jewish residents in a courtyard, but rather this is for the secondary gzera of the Chachamim did not want Jews and non-Jews living in such tight quarters, and so therefore they made a secondary gzera that when Jews and non-Jews are living in the same chatzer, so then the Jews got to go over to the non-Jew and have the very uncomfortable conversation. I want to rent out the rights, your rights of the chatzer over the course of Shabbos. Okay, and so this is a secondary gzera. So according to Rameir, that would be true even if it's just in a chatzar, one Jew and one non-Jew, something which is very infrequent, but still Rameir says under those circumstances, gzera. And Rav Elazar ben Yaakov said, no. The only time that we have the secondary gzera is only when it's two Jews and a non-Jew, because then that's something which is common, right? It's uncommon to have one Jew and one non-Jew living in a chatzar. And so only when you have two Jews and a non-Jew living in a chatzar, then and only then do you have the primary gzera of making a eruv chatzeros and the secondary gzera of having to rent out the space from the non-Jew. Okay, that's a quick recap of the Mishnah, the first Mishnah. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, with that said, Yisrael v'nachri b'pnimis. So here now we're going to have the following configuration where I have an interior chatzar and exterior chatzar. Interior chatzar meaning that the only way that the people in the interior chatzar can get out to the street is only by walking through the exterior chatzar. So I have an interior chatzar, exterior chatzar. So in the interior chatzar, I have a Jew and a non-Jew. And v'yisrael b'chitzono, and I have a Jew and one Jew living in the exterior chatzar. So ba ma'aseh lifnei Rebbe. So the matter came in front of Rebbe, v'asar. And Rebbe said, no. So you cannot carry within the chatzar. You cannot carry within the exterior chatzar until you rent out space from the non-Jew. Now, the matter also came in front of Rabbi Chia, and he also asserted it. Right, Rabbi Chia learned by Rabbi. It's not shocking that Rabbi Chia has the same psak as Rabbi, but anyway. So Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Vishulei Bepirkei, the Rav Sheshes, the Yosef, Rav Sheshes, Vekamar, come on. Amar Rav Lashmaite, Kareb Meir. So Rav Sheshes now is sitting over Shir, and now he's going over these halachas that we just learned together. And and when this was said over, now remember, it was we learned the psakim of Rabbi and Rabbi Chia, but it was said over to us in the name of Rav. So Rav is really the conveyor of this information. So Rav Sheshes now is wondering, so when Rav made this statement, and that the only way you're going to be able to carry in the chatzar is only if you're socher, only if you rent the rights from the non-Jew, is he subscribing to the shita of Rav Meir? So Keman Amar Rav L'Shmaite K'Rav Meir, so Karchesh Rav Reshe, so Rav nodded his head. Yeah, that's right. He's only like Rav Meir. Now that means to say that what's that issue over here? Again, there are two separate chatzeros. You have an interior, you have an exterior. In the interior, you have one Jew and one non-Jew. And right now, the Gemara's thought process is, it's just simply because you have a Jew and a non-Jew living in the interior, that in of itself requires spheres. Now, if that's true, what I just said, that means that we're subscribing to the Shita of Rav Meir. And the Gemara says, but wait one second. The Amar Rav Yosef Trei Gavri Rabba Vekarabban Leitu Behai Milsa. And Rav Yosef says, I don't understand. Rav Sheshes, Rabba, like what's going on over here? You're great Amorayim, and you think that this whole discussion is going like Rav Meir? So Ika Rav Meir, Lama Liyisrael B'chitzona. Look, if this was going like Rav Meir, so then I don't need the exterior chatzer. Meaning, in order to paskin the halacha over here like Rav Meir, just simply say, we have a chatzer, we have a Jew and a non-Jew living in the chatzer, and be done with it. Meaning, why over here in this case are we complicating matters by having an exterior chatzer where a Jew is living in the exterior chatzer? Like, what's going on over here? V'chitim ha-maisa shayikachaya, but the Gemara says, oh, I don't know. Maybe that was an actual case study. And maybe that's why the case over there was so complicated. But you're right. In other words, but it could very well be that the halacha is like Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, Va'abami ne'me rav, pinimi bimkoma mahu. So, but meanwhile, there was a follow-up question to Rav, and that is, pinimi bimkoma. So let's say that the interior stayed put. So what would be the halacha? Va'amalei mutter. And he says, mutter. Ve'alamai k'rav lozim ben Yaakov. So fine. So it has nothing to do with the shita of Rav Meir. Meaning it's not that we're passing the halacha like Rav Meir. So, but rather we're passing the halacha like Rav Lozim ben Yaakov. And by the way, we already established earlier in this parak that the halacha falls like Rav Lozim ben Yaakov. Okay, so the Gemara over here took a moment to get to that point. But anyway, so Hamar Ashu Shnei Yisraelim Osim Zelzeh. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. In order to pass on like Rav Lozim ben Yaakov, you need to be living in one chatzir. You need two Jews and a non-Jew living in one chatzir. And over here, you don't have that. You have an interior chatzir with a Jew and a non-Jew. You have the exterior chatzir with one Jew, but you don't have in one chatzir two Jews. So I don't understand. So the Gemara says, Elik Rabbi Kiva Dama Regal Amutas Bimkoma Osir Shalom Bimkoma. So the Gemara says, well, maybe this is going like Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva is of the position that when I have traffic, and this idea of Rabbi Akiva we already saw earlier, and we're going to see this a number of times over here in this Masechta regarding Eruv Chatzeros, that if I don't have a resident per se in this Chatzer, but I have somebody who necessarily has to walk through this Chatzer, so that's why the interior-exterior is always a great construct to describe Rabbi Akiva. So you have the people living in the interior, and the only way they can get out to the street is by walking through the exterior. That's what's called a regel. And according to Rabbi Akiva, a regel is a resident. And even though the regel, hamuteres bemkoma, where it's mutter where they're from, meaning they can carry in their own chatzar. But here in this chatzar, they were not mishtatev. They didn't participate in the Eruv. So they create iser in this chatzar. So that's the statement to Rabbi Akiva, regel hamuteres bemkoma, asur shalom bemkoma. So the Gemara says, that's great. So we're saying that the halacha over here falls like Rabbi Akiva. Lamali nachri, afil yisrael nami. So the Gemara says, okay, so then I don't need the example of the non-Jew. Meaning if all we're doing over here is highlighting Rabbi Akiva's position, so the case can just be limited to a case of Jews. So Am Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, Lolam Karebi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Uche Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, yeah, over here we're going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and we're going like Rabbi Akiva, meaning that the conclusion of Rebbe and Rabbi Chia. And the way it's said over in the name of Rav is that we're subscribing to both the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Shita of Rabbi. I'm sorry, and the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. And we're talking about a case where an error was created between the two Jews. So, what I have over here, let's just recap. I have an interior chatzar and exterior chatzar. In the interior chatzar, I have a Jew and a non-Jew. In the exterior chatzar, I just have a Jew. Now, because of Shitas Rabbi Akiva, so the Jew in the interior chatzar, what is he? He's a regal. Now, Hamutaris bim Koma, now in his interior chatzar, it's fine, because it's only one Jew and one non-Jew. And remember, according to Shitas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that does not create an Isser. But yet, we are also complementing this with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that the interior Jew is a regal for the exterior chatzar, which means that basically we're going to be looking at the interior Jew together with the exterior Jew, and that means to say that now in that exterior chatzar there needs to be an Eruv. And there is an Eruv, meaning they did set up an Eruv. And now that they set up an Eruv together, so now we have two Jews. Now that we have two Jews, now we have to regard the non-Jew. And in order for all this to work, you have to be socher the makom from the non-Jew. Okay. Hopefully all that was clear in terms of now putting together two shitas and understanding this case in total. V'tayma d'ikar nachri d'asir. Avaleka nachri lo asir. So, and the reason why this all becomes a problem is because of the non-Jew. But without the non-Jew, it would be fine. So, v'amine Rebbe Elazar ben Rav. So now the Gemara says, so let's deal with one follow-up question, which is the following. Yisrael v'nachri b'chitzon v'yisrael b'pnim ismahu. Let's switch it around. Let's have the Jew and the non-Jew living in the exterior chatzer, and let's having the Jew just by himself living in the interior. What would be the halacha over there? Now, if you think about this before the Gemara discusses this, so I would have said, you would have said, it's the same story, meaning that the Jew inside is a regel, meaning so he's considered a resident of the exterior based on the fact that he necessarily has to walk through the outside. And so basically, we're looking at the same thing. So we're basically now dealing with two Jews and a non-Jew. Two Jews and a non-Jew. So the halach is that they need to make an Erev, and they also have to be socher makom from the non-Jew. Meaning, just because we flipped around the chatzeros, seemingly shouldn't change anything. What the Gemara at least is going to try to argue, unsuccessfully, what the Gemara is going to try to argue is that this particular setup is so bizarre, it's so uncommon, so maybe this falls under the category of something which is not shchiach. So how sometime a mishum tishchiach the dyer the mirsos nachri v'savar hashta asi Yisrael v'amar li Yisrael dehave gabechechi. You see, in the case where I had the Jew and the non-Jew living in the interior, so there, that's and the Jew living in the exterior, that's something which is common because the Jew of the exterior is going to go into the interior and say, hey, where's my friend? He's going to turn to the non-Jew, where's my friend? And what's the non-Jew going to say? He walked out. Well, if he walked out, the Jew who was living in the exterior chatzar would have seen him and would have known. And so therefore, there would be this security that the Jew living in the exterior can provide for the Jew living in the interior chatzar. Good. But over here, if I flipped it around, where I had one Jew living in the interior and a Jew and a non-Jew living in the exterior, so now what? So the Jew goes over to the Jew of the interior goes over to the non-Jew of the exterior and says, where's my friend? So here, so the non-Jew could just simply put together a very simple excuse. So he walked out. And obviously, you live in the interior chatzar, you didn't see him leave, but he walked out. Okay, and now there's no oversight over here in this case. And so this basically would be analogous to having just one Jew and one non-Jew living in the chatzar, which Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov deemed as being something which is uncommon, and therefore no gzera is made in that case. So what the Gemara is trying to argue is that in this scenario over here, this also files under the category of being uncommon. Or the Gemara says, no, maybe in such a case, even though the interior Jew is just living by himself, and the exterior Jew is living with the non-Jew in the exterior, over there, there still would be oversight. And the non-Jew would be afraid to do anything. And the answer is great. In other words, what you're going to do is you're going to give to a chacham, and he's going to become even wiser. In other words, basically he says to him, the halacha comes out to be the same. Doesn't matter who's living in the exterior, who's living in the interior. It's considered as once you subscribe to the Shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and the Shita Rabbi Akiva, it's now viewed as the exterior chatzar having two Jews and a non-Jew, and therefore there's a requirement of schiras. At Kam, we're going to stop over here. We'll start tomorrow with Reish Lakish. Let's quickly recap. Our daf today continued along its discussion. First, we finished off yesterday's daf with the discussion of the bread and the sorcery regarding bread. Loaves of bread are subject to sorcery. Broken pieces are not subject to sorcery. Okay. The Gemara turned its attention to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, who created a justification in terms of why it is that we don't have the kind of kavanah that we used to have, because we are like shikorim, we're like drunk people. The Gemara went off on the topic of being drunk and not having the ability to concentrate and focus while one is drinking. Interesting discussion that took place from the top of the Amud Aleph of today's daf. What kind of liability does a person have when, in fact, he is drinking? The levels of intoxication, being inebriated, arriving at the point of shichur shalot. So, and the Gemara's discussion in terms of liability and responsibility. The Gemara talks about when a person is not fully sober, and when he's drunk. So the idea that he shouldn't be davening at that point in time. Rabbi Chanina said it one way. Rabbi Yochanan said it slightly differently. The Gemara noted a subtle difference between Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan. That of Rav Sheshet, should he set an alarm clock? Should he try to sleep off the intoxicated state and daven later point in time? Rav Sheshet said yes. The Gemara says that could be the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. And then the Gemara went and cited a number of Amorayim who, when they had any kind of disturbances or distractions, so they couldn't daven, they couldn't learn, and they couldn't paskin the halacha under those circumstances. Even from travel, it basically took 3 days to recover from a long journey. And the Gemara says, and during those 3 days, they wouldn't daven. So anyway, as we pointed out, our kavana nowadays is not like it used to be, and we're not afforded these kinds of exceptions, of dispensations that the Gemara discusses. On the bottom, Samech Hamad Al, the Gemara talks about wine and the purpose of wine and the fact that wine should be flowing in your house, and that's a Siman Bracha. And the famous Gemara of Nichnas Yain Yatza Sod, and another famous Gemara in today's daf of three ways to get to know somebody, Bikoso, Vikiso, Uvikaaso. The Gemara returned to the halachas of Eru Vechatzeros. We discussed a scenario where I have an interior-exterior chatzer. The interior chatzer has a Jew and a non-Jew. The exterior chatzer has a Jew. When I put together the shitas of Rav Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, so then there's a requirement of both an Eruv, and also there's a requirement of Schiris as well. Because Rabbi Akiva subscribes to this idea that when you are traffic that necessarily goes through another chatzer, so you now are considered a resident of that chatzer. In addition to that, we pass on like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that the requirement of schiros, of renting out the space from a non-Jew, is when there are two Jews. So in this construct of a Jew living in the interior and a Jew and a non-Jew living in the exterior, so now we have a situation where you have, in the exterior, you have two Jews who are required to make an Eruv, and because a non-Jew also is walking through, you also have a requirement of schiros as well.